Today's edition of Travel with Rick Steves is designed to get you into the holiday spirit, whatever you like to celebrate. We're checking back on conversations we've recorded over the years with friends about their Christmastime traditions, the kind that bring warm memories to sustain us. On the line right now is Gabby Koch. She and her sister-in-law run the Maximilian Hotel on the edge of Reutte in the snowy Tyrolean Alps of Austria. Gabby, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. Hello.
We have a lot of romantic images of the Tyrol, or the, I guess you say Tyrol in German.
Tyrol.
Can you just describe to people what a small town Christmas would be like in your part of Europe?
Christmas is a very traditional fest here. As you know, we are Roman Catholic, so it starts already with the Advent time. So we get prepared for the birth of Jesus. A lot of handcrafts are done then, Christmas decoration. We do a lot of music with traditional instruments.
How are the houses decorated in your town?
Mainly with nature things like trees, nuts, apples, so not very artificial things.
Now, in the United States, we decorate our tree several weeks, usually before Christmas. When do you get your tree and when do you decorate it and how does that involve the children?
Usually we have natural trees. And sometimes we pick them very, very short time ahead. So even on the Christmas day, we go to the forest and pick them. So the papas, they need to keep the smaller children busy. Like they go out, they do skiing or skating or snowman or playing games, whatever. And then the mama prepares the tree and the presents. And the living room is closed. And they will come at about 5 to 6 o'clock p.m. The Christmas bell rings and everybody may enter then the living room. Of course, this is done with the smaller kids. When they are a little bit older, they join decorating the Christmas tree.
Who actually, in the children's mind, who brings the presents?
Christkind. Christkind is the birth of God. It's Jesus. And so we never have had any Weihnachtsmann, Santa Claus. This is not something from our religion. Weihnachtsmann is actually a newer expression. I think
our equivalent would be Santa Claus?
Yes, okay. But I think it's mainly used for business reasons.
So even the little children, they think that Jesus is bringing the presents to them and putting them under the tree?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Describe for me, Gabby, in the Tyrol, in Western Austria, how you deal with the big family meal and when you go to Mass and how the Mass and the family all comes together.
Usually the meal on the 24th is quite simple because there are a lot of preparations to make it really up to the event, to the birth of Jesus. The meal is quite simple, like a sausage and a potato salad or a fish, but not very fancy. And the service where we go to is at midnight. We call it the Christmette. And it will start at 11:30 with already Christmas songs in the church. And then the main service, which is very familiar, but as well festive, starting at midnight. Afterwards, everybody wishes Frohe Weihnachten in front of the church, which is a very nice custom, especially when it's snowing. So it's like in a fairy tale.
So after the Mass, everybody is socializing in front of the church, wishing
yes.
each other Merry Christmas, Frohe mm-hmm. Weihnachten.
Yeah. And then we go to the illuminated cemetery.
What kind of lights and why?
Oh, this is to give the wishes and the Merry Frohe Weihnachten to the dead people as well.
So there's candles in your graveyards?
Candles, yes, a lot of candles.
Huh.
After the Christmas bell rang, you go to the living room, then you have some Christmas songs, then you have the Evangelium. This is the history of the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So you read the Gospel?
You read the Evangelium. Afterwards, you have, again, some Christmas songs. Then you give the Christmas wishings. And then a very exciting point, you can open the presents.
Wow. And do you have then a big Christmas feast on Christmas Day?
On the 25th. Sometimes you start with a very long breakfast because you come back quite late from the church. Then you go to the sons and daughters or they come to the house. And then probably have an early evening meal or a later evening meal. But the whole day will be time to spend and to see the family and join each other.
Gabby, can you share with us in the United States what your wishes are for the new year?
I wish first peace for everybody, Frohe Weihnachten, And then, of course, everybody wants to be healthy, join family, and be happy, and, of course, have all the blessings of God.
That's beautiful. And once again, in your language, how do you say Merry Christmas?
Frohe Weihnachten.
Frohe Weihnachten. Thank you very much, Gabby, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Frohe Weihnachten from Austria. Rick, to you and to everybody.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Journalist Fen Montaigne got to spend the holidays at the Palmer Station Research Facility in Antarctica while he was researching his book Fraser's Penguins a few years back. It's located just a little north of the Antarctic Circle. Fen, what's it like in a scientific station in Antarctica for Christmas? What do you do down there on Christmas?
Well, they celebrate Christmas just like we do up here in the U.S. The nice thing about being in Antarctica is you always have a white Christmas. Another nice thing that I loved is that it was light about 22 hours a day, which meant the celebration could go on and on. But the station has 40 people. It's supplied by boat alone. We had turkeys, we had stuffing, we had wine, and I and a group of about 10 or 12 other people at the station practiced for weeks to sing Christmas carols. So we had some caroling. And as at most Antarctic stations, after the feast, there was partying and imbibing well into the day after Christmas.
What would you guess is the population of Antarctica at Christmas time?
It's probably, given that's the peak of the whole research season, oh boy, maybe 10,000 perhaps across a whole continent that's 1.5 times the size of the U.S., including Alaska. The biggest station is the U.S.'s station in McMurdo Sound. The Brits have some big stations, so do the New Zealanders, the Russians, the Australians. So it's a population of some thousands of researchers and support staff spread over an enormous territory.
And that's peak season when you've got daylight almost all the time. I suppose the dead of winter would be, what, July and August, where the population
July and
down.
August, and then you're really talking about hundreds. Many of the stations are abandoned in winter. And you've primarily got the stations at the South Pole, the Scott Amundsen station that the U.S. Occupies. So it's literally down into the hundreds in the Antarctic winter.
And when New Year's rolls around, how do you know what time is actually midnight?
Well, the station goes by U.S. time. And at least I think it does. I've got to remember, it's close to U.S. East Coast time. They also are very close to the time of the southern tip of South America in Tierra del Fuego with Chile and Argentina, which is within an hour or two of U.S. East Coast time. So it's very clear when the New Year is rung in. And again, one of the real treats, I forgot to add, of the Antarctic Christmas and New Year's is that you can enjoy your bourbon or your scotch or your gin over glacial ice that is tens of thousands of years old. It's this beautiful, clear ice that we go out, we pick it up in boats, bring it back to the station, and chop it up. And I don't think I've ever had a more tasty sip of bourbon than the one I had over Antarctic glacial ice.
One of the hidden joys of the holiday seasons in Antarctica. Fen Montaigne, author of Fraser's Penguins, thanks for checking in with us this holiday season.
It was my pleasure, and happy holidays to you.
Travel writer Don George has been an editor at Lonely Planet and National Geographic Traveler for many years. His ebook, The Way of Wanderlust, compiles many of his travel essays and stories. Don lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, but since his wife is from Japan, he's gotten to know many of that country's distinctive holiday celebrations.
The other holiday that comes to mind is Oshogatsu, New Year's in Japan, where the whole country just goes crazy on New Year's Eve, and everyone goes to the temple and prays, and there's people selling things, and you get your fortune, and you tie it on a tree, and the whole country seems to come together, and for the next 3 days, everyone is celebrating. It's a fantastic time to be in Japan.
You know, I spent a Christmas and a New Year's in Japan once, and it was sort of funny to me because Christmas was the party day, and New Year's Eve seemed to be the religious holiday. Right. And I was all alone, and I stepped out of my hotel at midnight on New Year's Eve, just kind of, I was lonely, you know, and I didn't know anybody. I was somewhere in some desolate little town in Shikoku, and another man opened the door, and he did this little religious where he clasped his hands and he did a little bow, yeah. And I suppose he said Happy New Year in Japanese, and then on TV, We have the ball dropping from Times Square, and they had a big gong going on. Is that right? What was 108
times they hit the bell. That signifies the passing of the old year's problems and the blessings of the new year. And it's a great celebration around the whole country.
It's fun to be in Tokyo on Christmas because everybody's just going cake crazy. Yeah. There's a tradition of cakes, right?
That's right. The Christmas cake. That's what they do on Christmas. They celebrate by having a cake.
And what Tokyo's like 12 million people, and it seems like they're all on the subway at the same time. And I don't feel that tall. I'm 6'2", but boy, I felt tall in Japan. And I'll never forget standing in the subway, and there's a carpet of black hair all around me. And then every 4 or 5 meters, somebody's holding up a cake so they don't get crushed in that sea of humanity. And I just thought, wow, this world's a fascinating place, especially on a holiday.
That's a lot of cake.
That's a lot of cake. Let's return now to Italy for more of its festive holiday traditions. This time, we're checking in on the small towns of the Cinque Terre on its rocky northwest coast. Matteo Passini and his brother run a pair of boutique hotels in Monterosso. We asked Matteo a few years ago to tell us how the Christmas holiday traditions have been changing over the years in his corner of Italy. Matteo, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you all also.
Yeah, Matteo, now tell me, in Italy, what is special about Christmas in Italy compared to other places in Europe or the United States?
In Italy, for example, under a gastronomical point of view, you have panettone, which is special of Italy, and spumante, which is our Italian champagne.
You're going right to the food and the drink, spumante and panettone. Tell us about
those. Panettone, it's a Christmas cake and it's full with fruits. And then we have also pandoro, which is something similar, but with more butter. It's more simple, but both are very good. And in every home, you have panettone or pandoro for Christmas.
What is a warm childhood memory that you have of Christmas in Italy?
During Christmas here in Cinque Terre, we were expecting the Christmas lunch, something very, very important, where you could eat something that you never eat during the other days of the year. For example, ravioli were the main dish we had for Christmas, and that were very important because some family could only have ravioli for Christmas lunch and never before.
So poor families would only have ravioli on a special day?
Yes, only on Christmas, and then no more for the rest of the year. So it was very important. Or, for example, people were wearing a particular dress during that day, and then because friends gave them like a good shirt or something like this, and then no more for the rest of the year. So it was something very particular. And for example, when I was a kid, we always were waiting Christmas Eve that midnight was coming when Jesus baby were bringing us some gifts. So we were all waiting the Mass, and then after the Mass we came back home very fast to see if gifts were there, and they were there. So we were all happy. But now, unfortunately, it's different. Now, maybe this is the power of globalization. We have something more like you have in the United States and all over Europe. We have also Babbo Natale, which is your Santa Claus. And nobody is speaking anymore, almost anymore, about baby Jesus. So every kid is waiting for Babbo Natale, and then Babbo Natale is no more related to the Mass, so many people is not going to the Mass anymore. Also, even if the Christmas Eve Mass is very, very important in Italy, people, maybe they go to the Mass that night, maybe once in a year, but they go because it's really very important, something everybody feel a lot.
Now, Babbo Natale, is that like Papa Christmas? Is that what that means literally?
Yes, the real translation is Christmas Daddy. Christmas Daddy, yes.
Does Babbo come down the chimney like Santa Claus does in my town?
Yes and no. Sometimes, mostly, he comes to the door, he knocks, and then gives you something. Also, for children, somebody will wear like Babbo Natale and go knocking to all doors and give presents.
Now, you have another character, La Befana, right?
Yes, for 6th of January, when the three kings, we have La Befana. Every child wait La Befana, because if you have been good, she will bring you candies and lot of sweet stuff. If you have been bad, she will bring you coke. La Befana comes down from the, like your Santa Claus, down from the roof inside the where you have the fire in the...
Okay, the chimney. So La Befana, so this is the Christmas witch, kind of.
The Christmas witch, yeah.
Just to explain to people, so Epiphany is January 6th, and we know about the 12 days of Christmas, and that's really the finale of the 12 days of Christmas, when the three wise men actually gave the famous gifts to baby Jesus, and that is celebrated throughout Italy then,
yes.
And that's when the Christmas witch comes. And what do they give the children if they've been naughty?
Coal,
you mean?
Coke,
like black, coke, the coke. Black stones, right?
Black stones, yes.
Now, in Italy, the manger scenes are a big deal. You say presepe, right, in Italian?
Sì, presepe is very important. See, in fact, now too, the best presepe are always made by St. Francis monks.
Franciscans,
by
yeah.
St. Francis monks, they are all the best presepe, yes, mm-hmm. Very, very nice, very beautiful.
Because that's a big deal in Rome. I mean, every church has a manger scene, and people go.
But
like
also in private home, normally it's more important to have a presepe than the Christmas tree in Italy.
When you have children and you have the grandparents of the mother, or the parents of the mother and the parents of the father, different families, how do you know where to go when? How do you sort that out?
This is a big problem. I think it's the same problem in the United States and all over the world, but in Italy could cause big tragedies. I mean, normally when we speak in the afternoon with all the other friends, on 10 people, 5 had a bad day because they fight all day.
The family competition at Christmas. What is the biggest event, the dinner on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
No, normally in Italy the biggest competition is for Christmas lunch.
Christmas
the
lunch.
The lunch on Christmas Day, on the 25th of December for lunch.
Hey, Matteo, what are you thankful for this Christmas, and what are your wishes for the new year in Italy?
The wishes are only one, not only for Italy. Peace for everybody.
Thank you, Matteo. And just so we can hear your beautiful language, can you wish all of your friends in the United States a Merry Christmas and a peaceful New Year? Can I hear you say that in Italian?
Yes. Allora, volevo augurare a tutti voi un felice Natale e un bellissimo anno nuovo pieno di pace. Tanti auguri a tutti. Buon Natale.
Buon Natale. Matteo, thank you very much, and Buon Natale to you too.
Thank you, Rick. Buon Natale to you and to all your family. Ciao.
Through the years, we all will be together. If the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton,
Donna Bardsley,
and Casimiral Hall.
Website uploads are by Sherry Quirt and Andrew Wakeling.
Promotion support comes from Sheila Gerzoff, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank.
You'll find more at ricksteves.com/radio.
Wishing you warm and healthy holidays.
From all of us at Travel with Rick Steves.